Hello again, and welcome to our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2025 in partnership with Agria, covering all of the key life stages that our horses will go through in their lives. We've reached adulthood now, and this is hopefully a period that your horse is going to spend the majority of his life in, this working adult, under saddle, being ridden. And today we are going to focus on how we can train and compete our horses in a way that promotes physical and mental well-being and hopefully lots of enjoyment for both you and him as well. Joining me to discuss this, she's been on the podcast once already this week, but I have convinced her to come back. It is Nicola Wilson. She is a well-known figure in the field of eventing, first as a medal-winning stalwart of British Championship teams, and now as an in-demand coach and mentor. She's a UKCC Level 3 accredited coach, a British Eventing National Youth coach with a focus on their pony squads, and is currently supporting a number of riders as they head towards their spring 4- and 5-star fixtures. Welcome, Nicola.
Thank you very much.
It is lovely to have you back again. You shared so much wisdom in our Young Horses episode. And while we appreciate that some of the themes we discussed then are also going to carry over into our adult horses, hopefully there's some new pearls of wisdom that you can share with us. I think, first of all, with your coach hat on, if you're stood in the middle of an arena watching a horse rider combination, what says to you that this is a happy partnership?
I think that the horse and rider look happy and in harmony with one another. They're confidently moving around the arena, and I think there needs to be that sort of obvious confidence between them and trust between them, and yes, maybe the horse might have a little bit well and have a little bit of a spook or something like that, and the riders just sort of taking that in on board, letting them have a little play, but then putting them straight back to work. But a happy horse is a horse their ears are nice and soft. They're having a nice little look around, but they're really nice and loose through their body, and they have that nice little bit of a tail swing. I think if the nostrils are flaring, the ears are very pricked and very forward and pricked, and the tails maybe a little bit clamped, and they're a bit nervous and jumpy, then they're all obvious signs of tension. And possibly a little bit of loss of confidence in a different environment. And all of these things you would sort of in the first few minutes be trying to assess. And it's always a nice thing to have the horse and rider warm up. So you just get a sense of where they are and how they're feeling today as well, before then you sort of bring them in and have a chat about things and what they want to get out of their training session. You've already built up that little bit of knowledge from what you've seen in the first few minutes.
And if you have got a horse then that's a bit tense or a bit lacking in confidence, how are you going to go about helping it settle, help the rider get into the groove a bit more with them?
I think often just nicely chatting with the riders is important, almost but saying to them, look, it doesn't, you know, just sort of forget about what's happening underneath you, just, you know, chattering away with the rider whilst having them on a nice big circle, really feeling that the horse is starting to bend, maybe build in some transitions, but just really go back to the basics of the straightness, the rhythm, and build in some transitions and some changes of direction, which then in turn often get both horse and rider to breathe. And once you get them breathing and bending and moving around and taking the pressure or the emphasis off, you know, them wanting to go brilliantly straight away, if you can manage to take that pressure off them a little bit, then often you get a lot further, a lot quicker.
I think that's quite an important point there, actually, you've raised about the fact that we always want to do the best we can when we're riding our horses, but sometimes that just doesn't happen for whatever reason. You're having an off day, the weather's a bit funny or whatever it is. Sometimes it's not going to go perfectly for whatever reason.
Absolutely. And somebody once said, a really good example of that sort of supports this. There was some army riders who were new to riding, but they'd been on an all night, they'd been drinking all night, having a few parties, and the ones that were out partying, their horses didn't spook at all to the screen that was in the corner of that appeared in this arena, and the riders that weren't out all night drinking, their horses did spook because they were definitely trying to ride the horse properly and correctly and for it not to spook. And it's really interesting, that kind of example, really, because if you're sort of in a early on, it's trying just to stay relaxed, stay calm, and just systematically work through a process so that you can horses get confidence from routine, whether you do a warm-up at home, then have that same warm-up for a competition. Yes, be ready to do a few little tweaks here and there, but fundamentally the horse and rider get confidence from that pattern, and that's where that sort of softness and harmony comes from.
Yeah, and having a relationship as well, having a trust with each other as well, particularly if you can build that at home when you take them away to a competition or something in an unfamiliar environment. Yes. If they know that they can trust you and rely on you, they're going to be much more settled and happy to go forward.
Yes, and if you sort of do a little bit in walk and then in trot and work on one rein, then another rein, build in some transitions and maybe some legials, and go through a similar pattern, the horse naturally then sort of feels safe and is more thinking about you as a rider and what you're asking them to do, and they feel more confident rather than worrying about what else is going on in this great big field that we're meant to do dressage in. And other horses, some are feeling fresh, some are bucking, some are galloping around, some are doing beautiful dressage. But I think it's just so important to stay in your own little bubble, stay with you and your horse, what you do, and not be distracted by others.
Yeah, and if he knows, right, the next thing in our warm-up is we're going to start trotting a circle or whatever, it's, as you say, there's that reassurance in the repetition of what you're doing at home, and the I know what's coming. I might not know what's going over there with the burger van and the Portaloos or whatever, but this bit, I know this bit. If I focus on this bit, we're fine.
We're all right. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. But also, it's so, so important to reward good behaviour. You've got to be a good coach of your horse. They're not born with this instruction book. It's repetition. It's good training. It's good training practice. It's rewarding when it's right, but also explaining when it's wrong and why, and then rewarding good behaviour. And that's how, through that whole repetition, that's how that partnership gets stronger, but the horse gets better, and then the horse and rider are able to cope so much better in more pressurized environments, like at a competition or further down the line at championships.
And what would be your advice that if you have hit a point where something's gone wrong, how should you go about trying to rectify that in a way that's going to help your horse and not set him back even further?
I think take a step back, take a moment in your mind just to step back and work out why or how that happened, and then work through that systematically to either retrain the response or to re-educate what you're doing. Sometimes if a horse is constantly spooking at something in the corner, then rather than sort of tighten up on them and say, no, that's naughty or that's inappropriate behavior, try and think, okay, what can I do to avoid that spook in that corner? In actual fact, if you get the body bending and the body moving and you give their mind and their body a job to do, often they don't then even notice what's in the corner. And I think that's important to think, okay, there's more than one way here. And if you have the body moving and the softness and the suppleness and their brain is busy thinking about what you're asking them, they're more occupied in that. They want to please you. They want that reward. And therefore they're on your side. But I think have a moment to sort of just think, to evaluate both physical and mental of the horse, what happened, why it could have happened, and anything in their past, in their history that could have made that bigger.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think it's so easy in moments like that to react yeah. And go, no, that was wrong, don't do that, or punish them in some way. Actually taking that moment to think about it and why has this happened, I think is so important to make sure that what we're doing isn't making it the problem worse.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think also one of the things we talked about this in the episode about young horses is actually sometimes how beneficial it can be to let them have a little bit of a break from all of that, maybe like give them a chance to process what it is that you're trying to teach them here.
Yeah, and my sort of phrase for that is think time, you know, and horses and riders, we all need that think time to process what we're doing, and repetition of good practice, of the good way, and rewarding good practice is really important. And, you know, horses, it's really important that they have their outside time, they have that time to relax, chill out and be a horse, and then they have their work, their time when they're working, and it's really important to, you know, really evaluate where you're going, what you're doing with them, and be really mindful of their needs as a horse, so that you could fulfill, you know, that whole needs. It goes back to the three F's, the food, the freedom, and the friendship. You know, obviously all horses need a balanced diet. They need a diet that supports the amount of work and training that they are in. The incorrect diet can have a massive effect on the horse's trainability, on their state of mind, on their physical, you know, physical being as well. And I think that's a huge importance when looking at the horse welfare, horse happiness, and also freedom. You know, that is that's the time in the field spent, you know, being out, being a horse, rolling, have a really good roll, getting a bit dirty, eating grass, because, you know, horses by nature spend a vast amount, you know, I don't know exactly how much it is, but I'm going to say 17, 18 hours of the day grazing. You know, we need to mimic that when in their routine. But also we need to get that roughage sort of levels correct. You know, they couldn't be eating 18 hours of haylage, otherwise there'd be the feed quality would be too much. So it's sort of it's having that variety, and also having, as I mentioned, that friendship. You know, horses are herd animals. They need to be able to see and feel confident that there's other horses around. If they're in the field, you know, they'll all have a little lookout, they'll all be checking, you know, that there's no predators or danger. You know, when we had the competition horses here, the paddocks were quite close to the arena, and it would always be a lovely warm hug when I saw the horses all in bed in their field. And that for me was, you know, you just knew that you'd got it right, both physically and mentally for them. And if you've got happy horses like that, then those are the horses that will, you know, compete well on the competition field and hopefully stay sound at the top of the sport for as long as possible.
Which is what we want, even if, you know, regardless of the level you're competing at, that's what you want, is a happy horse who's going to stay sound. And I think sort of an almost slightly extended version of this giving them the downtime is planning your competition season in the right way. Because, I mean, eventing's a little bit easier in a way because you've got your season and then you get the winter off most of the time. But even within that season, you have to make sure the horses are peaking and at the right time. So how do you plan that, so that they are peaking at the right time and then getting the downtime that they need to recover and then picking up again at the right point?
And this was almost easier to do when we had the long format of roads and tracks and steeplechase. I was around in those days. But, you know, that was almost easier because then you had that natural build up to the 3 day, and it was a proper marathon, and then they would literally have, you know, a month, maybe, you know, 5 weeks of complete downtime before then building for your autumn 3 day events, and that still does happen. I like in a respect I like to I always like to sort of see where my aim was for the spring and then the autumn. I'd only do it in sort of two half seasons, because the second half of the season would be very much dictated to really on how the first half of the season has gone. So maybe working back, say, from badminton, and working back, okay, in my ideal, you know, at what point am I going to increase their fitness program? At what point am I going to sort of have their runs, some some horses will have two runs, three runs, one run, depending on their on the partnership between horse and rider and their level of experience. So working back from there, how it all fits in. You've also got your training sessions as well, fitness program. Everything sort of needs to be written down and planned. Have plan A, but also have enough time or margin of time to have a little tweak if you need to. I always used to start getting the horses fitter, you know, after their holiday in the autumn, sort of a little bit earlier than people in the south, because generally we had a fortnight of hard frosts or snow, and I needed to have factored in that fortnight so that if then in February or at January the horses had to be on minimal work, walker work and a little bit of work in the shed, which is tiny, but it was sort of a good area to use in those moments, I knew that then I was ahead of target, so it wouldn't worry me that then they were on a little bit of a reduced program while the weather was bad. And I think that's really important, that you build in those factors. You build in the factor that actually they might have an overreach, pull a shoe off, or they might have a knock or a bump that just needs that little bit of extra time. So I think it's really important to sort of think of the bigger picture whilst working back from your main aim. Have a plan A, B and C, because we all know horses, and not just the horses, it's riders as well, might well, you know, have a little bit of a setback or an injury. And you've got to be very aware of how many times your horse is on the lorry, you know, travelling the horses around. They're away from their daily routine of maybe working and field time, X, Y and Z. And whilst it's, you know, everybody working with event horses does such an amazing job, and the care of their horses is top notch. You know, that we're always out great hand grazing and giving them that that important sort of downtime. You know, that travelling can be, you know, a difficult time for the horses if they're doing a lot of it. So you just need to factor in that actually they're not in the lorry travelling hundreds of miles too many times a week, for example.
Yeah, it's practically a military operation.
It is, but it can get a little bit you can have anxious times as well, but I think as long as we're always putting, you know, the horse first, and making sure that the welfare of the horse is top of our list, but also those working with the horses as well is really important. And you've got to look at the whole big picture on how you produce and maintain and manage your whole setup to allow you then to stand on the podium, but not just once, but keep repeating that. And that takes a huge team around you, all pulling in the same direction. And you have to make sure that you look after your whole team, because as a rider, you can't do everything. You are reliant on people within your team to help you or that rider stand on the podium. And as I say, keep repeating that.
It's definitely a theme that's come up quite a lot this week, is the importance of having a team around you who, as you say, is all pulling in the same direction. You're all communicating with each other. You're all speaking the same language and thinking in the same way. And that is so important in keeping these horses fit mentally and physically, because, you know, it's a team. They say it takes a village to raise a child. It's the same with horses.
And, you know, since my accident and not then, you know, not having the horses on the yard anymore to ride, and not having my own personal home team, that was something that I knew I would really miss, and I was going to crave that. But being on the other side of the fence and now being a coach and being a small part of other people's bigger wheel, it's really lovely. I get that fix of working with the horses and trying to understand, you know, what the horses are doing and feeling and how we can help them develop. But also you're sort of riding the waves with the rider as well, and taking on the, you know, the pony coach. You know, it really gives a whole new meaning. You know, it gives you that sort of working as a team feeling back again, and that really is, for me, exhilarating. You know, really, really enjoying that team. I've always been a team player, not an individual, and to sort of start to feel part of a team again is really lovely.
And ponies are just fun. I mean, let's be honest, ponies are really fun, because they just bounce around like rubber balls.
Absolutely, they could go 4, 5, 6 or even 7 between those two fences. And I've definitely got six legs, not four.
Oh, yes. And something ponies are also quite renowned for being is a bit tricksy. What are some of your top tips if you've got a pony or a horse who is a little bit tricky?
Well, I suppose it goes back to something we said earlier. I think it's routine, having a system of dealing and working through things. You know, if you, as we said before, getting the horse's middle moving, get the softness and the suppleness, almost take their eyes away from what they are spooking at or being tricky with. And I think you've got to be smart. You've got to try and think it from the horse's point of view and sort of think, well, why are they being a bit tricky? And what is the stimuli for that? And how can I either take that away or help them through this? You know, they're generally not wanting to be awkward, but sometimes it's a trained response that maybe we're not even aware of, something that's happened in their past. And it's up to us to put those bits of the jigsaw together and try and help them succeed rather than go down the wrong road. And I think it's just being slightly ahead of the game, having a routine and giving the horses the confidence and being a fair coach of them, be very black and white, you know, reward good behaviour and explain when it's not right, why it's not right. And hopefully the trickiness will get less. But I think routine is really important. Consistency, routine and fairness.
Absolutely. And just appreciating that they're all individuals as well. I mean, they are all different. They're like people. They've all got their own personalities. And some of those are easier to get along with than others. But, you know, there's something there with all of them that you can just find something that you can connect with. And I think, yeah, learning their personality is a really important thing, and spending time with them as well, not just the riding, it's everything else that comes into that picture as well, is all about learning who they are and getting into their heads a bit.
It is, and going into the stables first thing on the morning and, you know, at feed time and just recognising their normal behaviour and what they do, how their legs feel, how they move around their stable or how they come in from the field. And it's building up that relationship on and off the horse that's really important. And it's the nicest part of the day for me when we had a yard full of horses was first thing on the morning and last thing when you did late night checks was just lovely. That tranquil, you know, lovely quietness of horses just munching on hay or haylage, and you know, you just had that really special few moments with each individual horse. But as you said earlier, you know, like people, you know, you often have that little bit of a clash with a horse, and I think it's important to recognise which relationship works well and what doesn't, and don't ever sort of think, well, just because I don't quite get on with this horse that it's failure, if then you admit that actually somebody else may well be able to strike up a better partnership with this horse. And I think that's, you know, very important to sort of not think of that as a negative, but think of that as a positive, because you're helping that horse then progress and be confident and competitive with somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point and well raised there. As we kind of draw to a close of this conversation, we talked about quite a lot of different things here. Do you have any kind of last tips or parting thoughts you want to leave with people?
I think, treat all your horses with care and respect. Be very aware of now on the bigger picture, you know, we've got to be so aware of horse welfare, but also the social licensing. And I think we all have a responsibility, whether we're caring for horses, riding them, training them, coaching horse and rider, we all have a responsibility to the horse, to equestrianism, full stop, and how the, you know, the wider audience view what we do. You know, unfortunately, more and more increasingly, people that don't understand horses, you know, feel that we shouldn't be riding them. And it's our job to sort of talk more in the horse's tongue, in the way that horses think, the way that horses train, the way that horses, you know, develop. And then we can not only educate the equestrian community, but also then the wider audience as well, that actually these horses are working in harmony with their riders because they want to. And I think that's really important. But yes, treating your horse as a horse, as an individual, and looking after their needs as well as your own as a rider or a coach.
Absolutely. That social license piece is so important right now. And we're doing well. We're on the right track. There's a lot of new learning coming out, new research, new ways of thinking, but that we definitely still have a way to go. But as you say, it is so important that we carry on that journey so that we can safeguard our sport, we can keep enjoying our horses, and they can keep enjoying what they're doing as well. So yes, so this has been another really interesting episode for Equine Health Week 2025. Make sure that you catch up on everything that we've talked about. As I've said already, Nicola did a very good episode all about looking at young horses, but we started with foals and breeding. We looked at the early years. We've done several episodes, as I've said, on young horses. We've looked at management, and there is still plenty more to come as we draw to the end of Equine Health Week. We are going to be looking at veteran horses next, and then also the sad last few days of your horse's life and how you can support him through that. Make sure that you check out the hub on our website. You can find it at www.britishequestrian.org.uk. Everything we have shared across this week is available there, and you can also find all the podcast episodes, whichever platform it is that you get your podcast from. You will find them there, or of course wherever you found this one. So thank you very much again, Nicola, for joining us. I hope you have had as good a time talking to me as I've had talking to you.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I certainly have.
Brilliant. And thank you everyone for listening at home. We hope you will join us again very soon.